Thank you, folks. Now, if you folks are listening to or hearing anything that is seems like it's rumbling, it is. But it is one of our 1948 pumps that went to the old boiler system in the church. 1948. And I think it might be wearing out. And I know exactly how it feels to be wearing out. But you're safe. You're fine. We're going to put Brother Randy down there with the pump, and if it blows apart, he's going to come and tell us. You know, God loves us so much, He puts up with us. Now, that's saying a lot. Because have you noticed that people don't put up with you very long? You know, our fellow man, they just have a hard time. We will put up, I can only take so much of this. I'm glad Jesus never said that to me. Because I guarantee you, I would have already given him too much before I got out of my teen years. So God says, I am not man. I am not like man. I don't love like man does. I love you like you are. I just love you. I love you so much. Well, how do we know that He loves us? He says so. Let's stand and read it together on the big screen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. May God's blessings be upon the reading of His holy word. You may be seated. God looks at us and just said, I just so love you. There's nothing I can say greater than I just so love you. There's not a more powerful word that can be used than so. How much do you love me, Lord? I love you just so. I love you just so much. There's nothing that you can do that's going to stop me from loving you. There's no foolishness you're going to get into. There's no evil that can come around you that I'm not going to just so love you. You're my family. Yeah, but now listen to God say that. You're my family. I didn't have a good family life growing up, and that's a fact. I did not. The only family life that I think was halfway normal or that you can draw from in my wife's family, six kids in that family, but they're family. They love each other. And you're blessed if you got to grow up in a family like that. But you see, the family, now that I know, is a family that will never leave me. It's a family of love. The family that loves me despite all the foolishness of my life. All the current foolishness. Do you really think you're going to grow out of being foolish and doing foolish things? Well, you're not. As a matter of fact, the older you get, probably the more foolish you'll think yourself becoming. But you're really not. You're just going back to your younger days. What did my Uncle Pete used to say? Once a man, twice a child. Once a man, twice a child. I never got to see him when he was a man, but I did see his childhood and his manhood. He just never could get it together, but ever so often he'd make a few wise statements that I've been able to pick up on. There wasn't many of them. But God says, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that for the namesake of my Son Jesus, I will never leave you nor will I ever forsake you. I want you to know that for His namesake, listen to this one, for His namesake, your sins are forgiven. His namesake, my sins are forgiven. For His namesake. Whew. I'm glad my name didn't have to be in there. It's all on what Jesus has done. But I know His name. But you hear me say this all the time. That's not the most exciting part in my life, that I know the name of Jesus. The most exciting part that I see in my life is Jesus knows my name. He knows me. For His namesake, your sins are forgiven. 1 John 2, verse 12. It said, John the Beloved writing, didn't matter about the age group, but to John, here's what he said. I write to you, little children. He's talking to adults and all alike. Because your sins are forgiven you. I'm getting ready to give you a word from God, he says. Because your sins are forgiven you. For His name's sake. I'm going to tell you what the Lord has in store for you, because your family, a good parent will do that. A good parent will warn. A good parent will chastise. But a good parent will always be ready to put their arms around you and hug you. Each culture, each generation grows up differently. Each one. But Jesus is not different. He doesn't change. He is the same always. I change not. So, Jesus says He loves me. And He's not going to change His mind. Jesus loves me. And if anybody knows me, Jesus knows me. Anybody knows you, Jesus knows you. And you know what He says? I love you. I understand life. But what we forget is this. We have ceased to understand God's love and how great it truly is. God is going to watch after me for His name's sake. I'm a part of the family of God. I'm the child of a king. I know Jesus. Jesus knows me. And God says, because of what my Son has done for you, no evil will ever conquer you. No enemy will ever overrun you. You cannot be defeated because of my Son's namesake. I'm a winner. Now, next Sunday night, tonight we have another study on the worthy is the Lamb in Revelation. And then next Sunday night, on the 2nd, I'm going to do something I've never done. I'm going to teach from a chapter in the Bible I've never taught from. I've never preached from. Chapter 12 of the book of Revelation. Now, some have asked me, has Satan been kicked out of heaven? And I said, yes. Others have said, is Satan still going to and fro in heaven? And I said, yeah, but next Sunday night I'm going to teach you something on that. God does not live in our realm of time. When God says this is going to take place, what we call the future, it's the present with God. Count it as already being done. I'm saved. Count it as already being there. And chapter 12, I'm going to teach and I'm going to share with you something on that, that possibly you can learn how much that God truly does care and God truly does love. Because he says, yes, it's going to happen. Yes, it's already happened. Do we not read the scripture and say Satan is a defeated foe? Do we see that in scripture? Is he not a defeated foe? So therefore, is Satan cast out? Yes. Is there still a spiritual warfare going on in the spiritual realm? Yes. But guess what? For his name's sake, you and I cannot be touched. I like that. We're the church age. Of all the ages of history, the most blessed of all ages is the church age. Because we have received the Holy Spirit and his seal is upon us. God sealed me into my family association with him. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. That can't be taken away. God's not going to adopt me out. Oh, there's a handful. He's mine. But you know what God does for us? He lets us be adopted into families. As I said, I did not have a good childhood. I know many of you all did not. And I know many of you did. You had a great childhood. So what do? I latch on to those, my outlaws and in-laws and all of that, of the pretty family. Of families that I know did have a good childhood and grow up. And I can smile at it. And I think, boy, I wish I could have known that as a kid. But you see, what I missed out on, I got. I have a family. Amen. You all are my family. Oh, man, what a family. What a family. Not a one of us are alike. Not a one of us think alike. Not a one of us sees everything just alike. But every one of us know Jesus. And Jesus doesn't change. Jesus knows me like I am. And he loves me anyway. Woo! He says, I died for you. And for my name's sake, Larry, your sins are forgiven. What a blessing. That's why Christians walk around cocky. Everybody wants to, you know, they get upset. You Christians think that you know you're going to heaven. I don't think it, I know it. You're right. I can be proud of who my Savior is. I am proud of who my Savior is. And I'm proud to say that I have his name's sake. I am Christian. But you know what goes along with that, Christian? Yeah, you do. For his name's sake, you will be betrayed and you will be hated. You take on the name, you take on the responsibility. You listen to me, Christian. You take on the name, you take on the responsibility. If you're taking on the name of Christian, then act like it. You stand for Christ. Do you mean then I need to change this or change that? I mean you need to know the name of Jesus. I know I'll get in trouble for this. I don't care how you dress. I don't care how many wigs or rings you got in your eyebrows and nose and all the other stuff. I don't care. Yep, I'm in trouble already. I don't care. I love you. And I love you just like you are. See, life hurts, doesn't it? Doesn't life hurt? But you know what hurts worse in life? Loneliness. And not to feel a part of other people. Not to ever hear, I love you, growing up. Never to hear the words. But to love back anyway. Did you know that? That's God's call. You see, I belong to the family of God. For His name's sake, though, I will be hated. I am hated. I am despised by a lot of folks. So will you be. Listen to me, Christian. Well, Brother Larry, I don't think anybody despises me. Well, I hate to pop your bubble, but yes, they do. They despise you. Those who despise Christianity, they're going to hate you. How do I know that? Jesus said so. He said, if they did it to me, don't you think they're going to do it to you? If you're taking on my namesake, don't you think then that what went on with me is going to happen to you? Listen to Luke 21, 16, 17. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all. Why? For His name's sake. For His name's sake. That's sort of getting used to Jade keeping the beat there for me. That's sort of like an amen. Kids got it. God says, for my name's sake, you're going to be hated. Somebody's going to be put to death. Because you see, when you take on the name of Jesus, you take on the responsibility of being a Christian. And being a Christian means that you stand on the solid rock no matter what comes your way. No matter all hell that's coming after you, you stand on the solid rock. And on that solid rock foundation, you have pledged your loyalty to a name that has pledged His life to you. Larry, I'll give my all for you. All I need you to do, Larry, you just stand there. But Lord, I don't know how to fight this. Did I ask you to fight it? What did Christ ask each of us to do? Stand on the solid foundation. Stand on the rock. Stand on Him. Stand God's ground. God is quite capable of defending what is His. Well, yeah, but preacher, you're going to end up being dead. Now, they might kill this body, but I ain't dead. The words that God gives me to proclaim will continue to be proclaimed by someone else. You will not shut the mouth of God. But there is a fear in our future that I want you to have. And it is a fear that has always bothered me. It's haunted me since God called me to preach. And that's the fear that God says, my Spirit will not always strive with man. My Spirit will not always strive with man. At some point, God will shut it down. You will not hear the Word of God preached. You will not hear it taught. You won't even hear it read. For what you will hear read may be words from the Bible, but they will not be words from God. Because God's Word today that He gives us is alive. Amen. It's breathing. God's Word is the truth of God, the breath of God, the face of God. It is the blood of Christ flowing within us. But he says, I will not always strive with you. Preachers call that sending away the day of grace. Do whole nations do it? Have whole nations mocked God to the point that they no longer feel the presence of God? Listen to me, Christian. You thank God that you feel guilty of sin. A person who does not know Christ does not feel guilty. A lost person does not feel that they're lost. As a matter of fact, here's what they'll say. Preacher, you want me to be saved from what? Well, I got it good. I got a nice home. I have a great job. I have a beautiful family. Everything is going just great. Saved from what, preacher? Then you will know that the idols of our generation have overshadowed the relationship of Christ. It is happening within our churches. Churches will be built more to entertain. And I'm not putting that down. But what I'm saying is a fact. If I can entertain the young people, you'll have a vibrant church. If I can convince them, what are you going to do when Satan entertains them with in a newer fashion, a newer way? What are you going to do when you've offered them a hot dog and somebody else comes along and offers them pizza? What are you going to do? I don't have all of that to give. What I have been given is God's Word. Amen. God's truth. God said, I want you to focus on what I give you. I'll take care of the rest. But God said, for my name's sake, they're not going to like you. For my name's sake, all hell is going to come against you. Boy, he knew what he was talking about, didn't he? He felt it. He saw what hell was like. He knows. Jesus knows. But you know what he says now to Satan? Don't you mess with one of my kids. I like that. Larry might be hard-headed and all that other stuff you just talked about, Satan, but you don't mess with one of my kids, and he's mine. Yeah, that's why we Christians are cocky. Yeah. Well, you think you know the answer? No, I know the answer. I know. His name is Jesus. Well, I bet you think that you know you're going to heaven. Yep, I do. I know I'm going to heaven. How do you know that? I know Jesus. And I know his promise, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I'm saved. Called on the name of the Lord, I know Jesus. All right, Larry, you know you have it all. You know eternal life is yours. What are you going to do with the time between that salvation and the time you leave that body? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your salvation? What good is salvation if it's not shared? What good is it if you're the only one in town when the ice storm comes and you have a light, but you turn it off because you don't want anybody else to benefit from it? Is that not what Christians do when we don't take the message? Do we not turn off the light for the lost world? I want you to take my word, but Lord, they hate me if I do that. They'll hate me when I say that Jesus is the only way. They will despise me. I will see no love there. Do you really believe that Jesus got a lot of love from the people of his generation? You need to read the book. You know, when they put you on the cross, that is not an expression of their love for you. When they beat you, ridicule you, do all manner of evil against you and against those you love, they attacked your family. But here's their problem. That's God's family. It belonged to God. It's God's family. And when they attack me, they attack God. And if God allows them to do it, who am I to get all upset over it? All I can do is tell you people, Jesus loves you. He loves you just like you are. He loves you when you're right. He loves you when you're wrong. He's your Father in heaven, and your Savior, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, gave His all so that you won't have to. Not only did Jesus see death, you hear me now, not only did He see death, He experienced death all the way through. The total dying process, the total death process, 3 days in the tomb, He experienced it all. You know how I know He didn't like it? He said, I'm coming out of here. And He came forth from the tomb. He conquered death. Why? Because He promised you and me, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall never see death. Why don't I ever see it? Jesus already conquered it for me. You'll see me dying and probably miserable, but you'll see the body. Hey, don't be sweating it when you see that, because I'm having a ball in the spiritual realm. What you're looking at is not what is real. Do we not know that from Scripture? What you see is what is fake. What you don't see, that is truly what's real. The spiritual realm is the only reality that you and I have. I'm trapped in this physical body right now. Trapped in here, I can't get out. Don't have a right to even try. Until the Lord says, okay, Larry, your time's up. Come on, get out of that body. Do you really think that I'm going to be crying and all of that? Oh, I got to. No, I'm not. But as the old country preacher said, goes back to my stomach because there's a supper waiting for me. And I've never experienced heavenly food. But I have experienced heavenly salvation. I'm saved. And for His name's sake, yes, I catch hell and will continue. So will you. If everybody's at peace with you, you got a problem. Well, everybody just loves me, you got a big problem. For one thing, you can't see. And another thing, you're living a lie. Everybody does not love you. But I know one who does. His name is Jesus, and He loves you all the time. All the time, Jesus loves me. He cares. For His name's sake, listen to this. Jesus confessed your name to His Father. Ain't that something? Father, this is Larry. Phew. God loves me too. Man, I didn't miss anything in this earthly life. God, I got a heavenly realm, a family that truly loves me just like I am. Matthew 10:32-33. Therefore, whoever confesses me, I take on the namesake of Jesus, I confess Jesus before men, Him I will also confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Jesus even tells us a whole story about that. He said, at the last days, you'll come to me and say, but Lord, did we not do all these wonderful things in your name? Did we not cast out the demons in your name? You know what Jesus said? I will say unto them, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, because I never knew you. That was fake news they was reporting, Brother Randy. Fake all the way through. They told a story of a different Jesus. That's fake. And I got in trouble on that one too. But Jesus says, I love you. See, I got a family. I got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I got a family that will love me despite me. Now that's family. And that's truly love. That's the namesake of Jesus. For his namesake, I am totally saved. And it don't get better than that, Brother Randy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name, giving you thanks, for you are the glory. You are our hope. You are the master that touches our life. You are the supplier of all our needs, the giver, and the one who loves more than all. Thank you, Father, for caring, for loving. Help us now as we stand strong in your truth, in your love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. During our time of invitation, the invitation is right. That invitation means, what are you going to do with the time you do have left? For his name's sake, not for yours. Whatever commitment you need to make, let's stand together and make it.